Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, July 1st, 2014. The chief government spokesperson says he believes a peace deal is just around the corner.
We are for peace, we are in search of peace, and would not like to see any complicating factors being injected into this process.
And residents of Bor say federalism will benefit tribes with large population in South Sudan.
We cannot think of federalism because we are being faced by a tribal issues. These are the one now drilling us back to where we come from.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. International medical charity group Doctors Without Borders, or MSF, today released a report that says South Sudan's fragile health system has been destroyed in parts of the country affected by the ongoing conflict. The report says at least 58 people have been killed in hospitals, medical equipments looted, and facilities have been burned to ground in at least six separate incidents since the fighting began in December. From Juba, Mungumedev's Rakarinj reports.
The report paints a frightening picture of violence against health facilities and personnel in South Sudan. MSF says in the report that patients, including women and children, have been shot in their hospital beds and medical and humanitarian staff have been killed. Rafael Jolgeo, the MSF head of mission in South Sudan, says since fighting erupted in mid-December, scores of people have been killed in attacks on MSF-run medical facilities in Upper Nile State, in Jonglei State, and in Unity State.
25 of them were patients, 27 were people seeking shelter in hospital, 2 of them were Ministry of Health staff, and 4 were unidentified people. Some happened when the fighting was going on, but actually, like in Benchu, it happened as well when the fighting had stopped, which is, of course, even more a concern.
Korugo says MSF staff have been harassed by fighters and medical equipment and facilities have been destroyed. The impact of the violence on local populations is devastating, he says.
Indeed, hundreds of thousands of people became cut off from health care at times they actually needed the most. One health facility destroyed, one ambulance burned, one health worker killed means actually no access to health care for thousands of people.
Sarah Maynard is the MSF project coordinator in Unity State, which has been hard hit by the fighting. She says in the town of Rer, entire buildings were reduced to ash and rubble, and life-saving surgical equipment was completely destroyed in an attack in January of this year. Maynard says she was shocked when she went back to Rer in May and saw the extent of the destruction.
One of the things that really struck me the most was the absence of life and movement. I'd never seen the hospital without patients in it. No staff, no noise, not even babies crying. Parts of the hospital had been so badly destroyed that I hardly recognized them.
Maynard says the MSF health facility in Rer used to provide health care to more than a quarter of a million people, providing them with everything from preventive care to treatment for chronic diseases like HIV and tuberculosis. Maynard says the hospital was closed for 3 months after the attack. When MSF returned to Rer, people in the town were desperate for medical attention, and MSF did what it could to help them, she says.
We had no power and no water. Without surgery, patients that we would have operated on sometimes didn't survive. The caretaker of one such patient came to me to ask for help to bury the body. The patients kept on coming, desperate for our help. And although we had no delivery bed, the mothers were coming and giving birth on the floor in the hospital because they wanted to be close to the medical teams at least.
Maynard says she was also overwhelmed by the number of malnourished children she had to treat during her first week back in Rer. Near 1,000 showed up at the MSF medical facility, she says.
We started a feeding program for severely malnourished children under 5. Hundreds of mothers were bringing their children for weighing and measuring. And I remember thinking in the first week that maybe we would admit 500 children into the program. In the end, it was 900.
Gorgo says, although both government and opposition leaders have assured MSF that the violence will stop, there was little evidence that those promises are being translated into reality.
Indeed, hundreds of thousands of people became cut off from healthcare at times they actually needed the most. One health facility destroyed, one ambulance burned, one health worker killed, means actually no access to healthcare for thousands of people.
Government health officials were tied up in a meeting and were unable for comment during the MSF report. For VOA News, I am Gumedes Ruakarinj in Juba.
South Sudan's Minister of Information told reporters today in Juba he is optimistic about reaching a peace deal with rebels once the stalled peace talks resumes in Addis Ababa. The East African Regional Bloc, IGAD, suspended the talks indefinitely last month, citing a lack of commitment from rebels allied to Riek Machar. For VOA News, Simon Waki-Wudu has the story from Juba.
South Sudan Minister of Information Michael Makwe says the government is awaiting word from IGAD as to when the talks will resume. Ambassador Seyoum Mesfin, chairperson of the IGAD Special Envoy on the conflict in South Sudan, briefed the UN Security Council last week about the status of the talks and the prospects for their resumption. Makwe says there is no time to waste and the government stands ready to do whatever it takes to restore peace in the country.
For us as a government, we are for peace, we are in search of peace, and would not like to see any complicating factors being injected into this process. We are optimistic that even if the rebels accept to come back within the remaining period, we can still reach peace in the 60 days that was agreed upon.
Government and rebel delegations have been attending an on and off IGAD-sponsored meetings in the Ethiopian capital since last year. The United Nations estimates that the crisis has killed more than 10,000 people and displaced more than 1 million others in the country. IGAD adjourned the talks last month after the rebels boycotted the talks, accusing IGAD of giving too many seats at the table to what they say were government-sponsored civil society groups and demanded more seats be given to groups that supported the rebels. Both sides agreed on June 10th to finalize talks and sign a deal within 60 days. Makwe says they can still meet that deadline.
The 60 days seems to be running very fast, but nevertheless, even within 10 or 15 days, we are capable of reaching an agreement. If the rebels really come back with seriousness and if they are really committed to peace.
Makwe says President Kiir's number one priority is restoring peace and stability in the country. He says his government also is working with other political parties to find a lasting solution to the political crisis in the country. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
For some time now, the people of South Sudan have been debating the notion of moving toward a federal system of governance, a topic we will be discussing here in occasional series on federalism. We begin with a report from Bor, where many politicians, youth leaders, and university students in Jonglei town say federalism will divide the country. As Jacob Achiek reports for VOA from Bor, they believe the focus should instead be on strengthening existing institutions to help resolve the country's crisis.
The idea of a federal system of government in South Sudan is gaining ground in the three states of Equatoria after fighting broke out in December in Juba and spread to other parts of the country. But here in Bor, residents have nothing good to say about federalism. Some said the system will create more divisions along tribal lines and encourage corruption among South Sudanese. Dinga Kolding, a former local minister who advised the governor of Jonglei State, he said federalism is a higher level of decentralization which wouldn't help South Sudan reduce corruption or other problems it's facing right now.
Our institutions are weak. So we need to build institutions first. After that, we move to federal system because federal system is a higher level of decentralization. And that's where we need to establish a strong institution that can manage. So we want to evaluate the decentralization that has been there. We need to evaluate it first. After evaluation, we say, no, these are the weaknesses of decentralization. These are the strengths of decentralization. We need to go to federalism system.
The chairperson of Jungle Estate Youth League, Ayar Deng Monywach, said the country must first unite after the deadly conflicts which created so much division among South Sudanese communities along tribal line.
As South Sudanese, the state that we are in now and the crisis that we are in now, we cannot think of federalism because we are being faced by a tribal issues. These are the one now drilling us back to where we come from. So we could not support anything related to tribal issues.
Borloya Ngweny Manyangnuer also pointed out that some states with no natural resources will be negatively affected if federalism is implemented.
There are some states in South Sudan which have no natural resources, and if those states with natural resources run for their own affairs, then it will be difficult for some other state which have no natural resources to get support from the other state which are actually ruling themselves.
Achek Piok, a student of Dr. John Garang University of Science and Technology, disagree.
My response towards the federalism in South Sudan is negative to me because our country is still young. They need our government to be more capable than preparing for federalism. We need to take time for us as South Sudanese to analyze it. What is good about federalism and what is the bad side of it?
The debate over the federalism began at Addis Ababa Peace Talk between delegation for the government and the rebel. Rebel leader Riek Machar team support a transitional government based on a federal system. While Juba believe the current decentralized system of government under President Salva Kiir is the right face for South Sudanese, IGAD adjourned the talks indefinitely after the rebels complained the talks were not inclusive enough and refused to negotiate further until changes were made. For BOA News, I'm Jacob Achek in Bor, Jonglei State.
Editors of various media outlets in Juba met yesterday to discuss recent directives from South Sudan security operatives instructing the media not to publish or broadcast news on any discussion about federal system of governance in South Sudan. The Citizen newspaper reports that the editors have resolved to seek clarification from South Sudan's Minister of Information. President Salva Kiir's spokesman denies the government is behind the new directives. Atenywek Aten says the government respects the freedom of speech as guaranteed by the country's constitution.
The debate about federalism or about any system of governance is enshrined under the freedom of expression under Article 24 of the constitution. So we cannot curtail anybody's freedom of speech about any system of government they wanted to discuss. So the journalist might not be saying the truth because the president has not issued any order so far.
But the Juba Monitor editor was quoted as saying that some people who look like security operatives came to his office telling him that they have been given orders from above to tell journalists not to encourage any debate on federalism.
The best thing is to allow federalism people to talk about. So in Juba here, even Lalit Taban has been publishing articles of the rebels that are actually found on online, and he takes them, he cut them and face them and publish them in Juba Monitor. He has never been questioned. Issue of federalism, what President Kiir said is that the priority of the government of South Sudan is not about the system of governance, it's about bringing peace back to South Sudan. So this is what the president said: you let us wait for the peace to come. And then you continue to debate any issue of federalism or decentralization of government or centralization of government. All the people of South Sudan should go on a referendum to decide which system of governance that suits them.
What I'm getting from you is that people are free to debate and discuss this issue of federalism.
They are free to talk about it. Yeah, they are free to talk about federalism. They are free to talk about decentralization, they are free to talk about centralization, they are free to talk about any system of government that is in this world. Even they are free even to talk about totalitarian. If they are not instigating or if they are not going to overthrow the government by force, they are free to say anything.
What do you make of other reports that have been coming out that the office of the president has not been happy because the three governors of Eastern, Central and Western Equatoria came openly to declare their support for a federal system of governance in South Sudan.
First of all, the issue is vague. When you talk about the office of the president, not happy. The office of the president is a very large thing, starting from president to messengers, the office of the president. And what the governors of Equatoria has expressed in regards to federalism is their right. They have constitutional right to do so. And this one came from the sources of what is called Nyamalpedia, you know, which is a Facebook account created by the rebels. You can see, you know, you can visit that because it is in Facebook. You visit that and you see how the rebels are actually creating this, you know, just for fabrication and then to cause havoc and confusion. So there was nothing about, about office of the president not happy with the governors of Equatoria, because governors of Equatoria, yeah, and even the person that was implicated is a good friend of the president, the general, you know, Kongo, of Central Equatoria. He's a good friend of the president, and he has been in with the president all the time. So I don't think this is, something that has happened. It's a fabrication.
That's South Sudan's presidential spokesman, Ateng Wek Ateng, speaking with me from Juba earlier today.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Staying healthy is important to everyone, but it is particularly important if you're a woman expecting a baby. Women should get competent medical care as soon as they realize they're pregnant, and they should follow these general guidelines to increase the chances of having a healthy baby. Eat a variety of good foods with nutrients, including fruits and vegetables. Wash your hands and wash your food before preparing it. Also, wash your hands right before eating. Don't drink alcohol or smoke. Avoid pesticides, paint, or strong chemical cleaners. And decrease or eliminate coffee or tea. All these things can improve the chances of having a healthy baby.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, what are the advantages of having midwives? That story is coming up.
For all the latest in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to Voice of America's South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. You can email us at southsudan@voanews.com. We are also on the web at voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America.
Put your flags up in the sky. Hi, this is Sonny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports. Visit voafootball.com for live updates on the World Cup in Brazil. The site is optimized for your mobile phone or tablet and will bring you the latest scores, stats, photos, and videos. And everything can be shared with your friends from your mobile device to Facebook and Twitter. World Cup nonstop at voafootball.com.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is the best way for your community to be self-reliant?
Unity first, understanding and working together. Yeah, they can achieve anything. They can achieve whatsoever they want to achieve. Peace after unity, development. Yeah, anything that possible, anything that people would love apart from war.
Firstly, by introducing entrepreneurship education in schools so that the students who are outgoing schools, they should be able to create their own jobs than being job seekers. Secondly, by providing loans to the people in the community, like women projects as well as men for development.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. It's time for our Tuesday Health segment. Today we are talking about midwifery. A new report says there's a severe shortage of midwives in more than 70 countries in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. It says those countries suffer 96% of the world's maternal deaths and more than 90% of stillbirths and newborn deaths. VOA's Jordi Kapua reports.
The report is a joint publication of the UN Population Fund, the International Confederation of Midwives, the World Health Organization, and others. Population Fund Executive Director, Dr. Babatunde Osotimehin.
Midwives are the unsung heroes of maternal newborn health. Indeed, they are the unsung heroes for public health in the world.
Also on hand for the release of the State of the World's Midwifery 2014 report was Frances Day Sterk, President of the Midwives Confederation.
Addressing the shortages of midwives and midwifery services across low- and middle-income countries could save the lives of millions of women and newborns each year. And the report calls for urgent investment in high-quality midwifery care to prevent about two-thirds of all maternal and newborn deaths, millions of lives saved.
The report says investing in midwifery education and training would help close what it calls glaring gaps in maternal and newborn health care. And the return on the investment, it says, would be huge.
Midwives can perform about 87 to 90% of the essential care for women and newborns, but only when they're educated to global standards.
This year's midwifery report is titled A Universal Pathway, A Woman's Right to Health. It says that countries should consider the availability, accessibility, acceptability, and quality of the midwifery workforce in order to provide quality services. It goes on to say that many countries have begun taking bold steps to improve midwifery.
Saving those lives does not only mean preventing personal tragedies for families, it also means more productivity for the women and the babies who survive and thrive and the babies who grow into healthy adults.
UNFPA Chief Osotimehin says all women need and deserve respectful, compassionate care before, during, and after pregnancy and birth. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
We now move to Awil. Awil South County officials say two people were killed and seven others injured last week during a fight that erupted after an incident at a shisha joint. As Abraham Agod reports from Awil in northern Bahr al-Ghazal state, the trouble began Sunday when an official ordered that the shisha joint be shut down.
The county commissioner of Awil South, Gail Mongok, says a scuffle broke out when one of his officials returned to the shisha joint on Friday and failed to follow the right procedure for apprehending people who break the law.
The accident happened this morning. It is a tribal accident because yesterday we have an administrator in the county here. They went to market for mobilizing the old shisha in the market, but very fortunately they got some people fighting him.
Anguk blames the administrator for taking the law into his own hands by getting involved in the fist fight with the citizens. He says officials are supposed to respect residents' rights and reports any acts of disobedience to the state police for intervention.
He's supposed to wait for the police to go and make an investigation, but this morning they took a decision with his family, and when an attack, the family who are part with him yesterday. So this thing caused a death of two people because we sent the police and police shoot randomly until they shoot two people down.
The commissioner confirmed seven people were injured and properties of unknown values were destroyed during the incident following retaliatory attacks carried out by relatives of those who were killed and injured in the fight.
According to those we are receiving are almost seven people, five from the administration side and two from the other family. There is a lot of losses. There is a lot of losses because the houses of that administrators, all of them are being burned, and they have some shop in the market, and stores, and those stores are running by other people like us in the county here. We rent one store, and there is another store in the market. It's run by one lady, a business person in the market. So I think the two stores are banned.
Mongok says some houses belonging to the relatives of the executive administrator were burnt to the ground in retaliatory attack in villages far away from the county.
Up to now, I'm still not know how many houses are being burned in the area, because there is some burn in village calling Makrashial, and some burn in Luka Good village, and some burn in Malengdi. So I will send the committee to go and confirm how many houses actually are being burned.
The county administrator and his entire family are currently under detention at the police station for their own safety. Shisha was previously burnt in the state capital last year, but is still being illegally used by residents who enjoy smoking it. For VOA News, I am Abraham Agoth reporting in Awil, Northern Barkazali State.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here are some of today's news headlines with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. A massive car bomb explosion in northeastern Nigeria has killed at least 15 people, and witnesses say the death toll could go much higher. Today's blast at a popular market in the city of Maiduguri came from explosives hidden under charcoal in the back of a pickup truck. Witnesses say the explosion was so powerful that it sent body parts onto roofs of buildings and set several nearby vehicles on fire. No group has claimed responsibility for the attack, but officials were quick to blame Boko Haram. Israel is retaliating for the murder of three Jewish teenagers in the West Bank, allegedly carried out by Palestinian militants. There was panic in the Gaza Strip as Israeli aircraft bombed more than 30 targets, most of them linked to the Palestinian militant group Hamas. The airstrikes came hours after Israel blamed Hamas for the murder of three kidnapped teenagers and vowed that the group would pay a heavy price. And finally, Iraq's new parliament has ended its first session without selecting a new prime minister. The lawmakers met for the first time today since being elected in late April, but the acting speaker ended the session after a number of members failed to return from a break. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
And that's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song "You Are One in a Million" by Justin Simpleman. Listening to Justin Simpleman with the song "You Are One in a Million." I'm John Tanza in Washington. We are glad you could join us. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.